Hi, honey. How was your tea?
Oh, pretty average, you know. There was music, little sandwiches, tea, of course. Oh, and I got my quizmaster fired.
What kind of sandwiches?
What happened?
Oh, nothing. I inadvertently said terrible things about him to a complete stranger who turned out to be his boss. It's really kind of funny when you think about it.
I don't get it.
Oh, teacher, I need you.
Ladies, gentlemen, Steve Allen, welcome to episode number 46 of Sabrina's Witch Trials. This is, of course, the show where each episode we venture back into the mid-1990s to rewatch, review, and reminisce all about everyone's favorite Friday night spellfest, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I'm Alex Adouju, and folks, we're all stuck at home, but the good thing is that enables certain treats for the listeners of the Witch Trials. Yes, I'm calling this a treat. This is something we haven't done in, 42 episodes. 41 episodes, I don't know how to count. Maybe 42. 42 episodes. Leave it all in now. 42 episodes. A very special episode of the Witch Trials is coming up for you, because not only are we talking about episode 46 quiz show, and we will get into the great name that that is, we also have not one, but deuce guests on this episode. They're both turds. Not only is that media maven from Chris Conker's back, Chris Adouju's here. Chris, how you doing?
I'm okay. Isolated.
Man, can you tell she's been in the house for a month?
Yeah, over a month now.
Because she has lost the will to watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
All I want to do is eat carbs.
Fair. At the same time, we have another guest, socially distanced all the way to Ohio. Phil Adouju is back, that noted child of the 80s. Phil, how are you doing?
I guess that makes me number two, huh?
In everyone's hearts. Wait, that's, I'm supposed to say you're number one in everyone's hearts. Just in terms of people liking you on the show.
I guess that makes me the number two here, I guess.
I guess technically you're number three.
No.
Because is Al putting himself first?
No, I'm not that arrogant.
No.
Okay, sure you're not.
Sorry, I'm not that kind of arrogant.
I'm not that kind of arrogant to say that on the podcast. Yeah.
After the recording, it's like, you guys are under my fucking boot. I am the king. I'm doing great. Clearly, I'm the king. You know, every day that the family is not very sick is a good day. So hopefully all the listeners are doing well and staying safe. And we can get past this quickly and healthily. Look up in your dictionaries. But yeah, all things are good. Phil, you're holding out there in Ohio.
I'm stuck here in my compound in the basement.
Sure.
Doing my thing, but yeah. So I haven't been on in a while. I've been kind of doing other things with my job. So I've been kind of traveling and working. But since this whole thing kind of came out, I've been working from home. So I've been sitting here for the last month at home.
Yeah, we've really taken advantage of the fact that jobs are a thing that are not as much of a thing anymore in day-to-day life. Although you and Chris are both still technically working, you're telecommuting.
Yeah.
And I am doing this. So we're all doing great. And we're here. We've gathered. It's truly a special time in our family when we get to talk about an episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. We were talking about the episode that we did last time, way back, episode 4. I believe it was called Terrible Things, because that was the episode where they kept going,
Terrible Things.
Yeah, Mr. Poole finds out how to make gold or something. Not a great episode, but a great time was had by one of us, because you guys were dog tired when I made you record that.
We were dying.
But luckily, we've started at a slightly earlier time than that one. So we'll see if we can keep you guys awake and focused on this great episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch, episode 46, Quiz Show. And of course, you both know that I ask my guests to describe the episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch in a set number of words. And here's
the thing.
But
there's two of us.
That's true. But since I know you always forget and I know Phil is always prepared, I'm going to have you go first so you can't crib Phil's description.
I never prepare it because it would be pointless because you always pick a random number, usually 8 or 9.
Yeah. Oh, damning indictment of Al's number picking.
But so it's not worth it to come prepared. And also, I just sit here and think of one, so who cares?
That's true. Chris, I will have you know that I'm going to spice it up for you this time. I'm going to ask you to describe this episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch in 7 words.
Okay.
Ooh.
Are we hyphenating Quizmaster? Is that one word?
That'll be one word. Like, that's
Beastmaster? Quizmaster is one word.
Yeah.
Okay. Sabrina loses Quizmaster. Zelda becomes Sabrina's substitute.
Those are
7.
That is true. That is a accurate description.
Yeah.
She loses Quizmaster. Where did he go? Oh, no. Did he go into the hole?
He is no longer in her life.
Fair enough.
As her Quizmaster.
Now, Phil.
Yes.
I will ask you to describe this episode in a very Chris-approved 9 words.
There you go.
Ah. Well, see, Chris always says, you know, about, you know, how you switch it up. And see, you just have to be prepared. You just have to go from like 6 to 12 and just write them all
out.
This
is what Phil does.
It's just ridiculously depressing. I'm sorry that you spend your time in this manner.
This is why he has 4 pages of notes.
That's why I have 4 pages of notes. I'm prepared for everything.
You could spend your time looking at hair masks on Sephora like I do.
There'll be plenty of time for hair masks after the recording. Thank
Will
you.
There be?
I'm good. I'm good without the hair mask. Thanks. So
sure you are.
Oh, come on.
Cold. Let's keep the insults until the last 20 minutes. That's when I've reserved it.
That's
for.
That's what you say now.
Phil, take it away.
Yes, sir. All right. Libby is better at understanding chemistry than Sabrina is.
I'm sorry. Mine wins because I gave an accurate and full description of both storylines.
Here's what I will
Thank
say.
Thank you.
Here's what I will say. Chris does capture the episode better. Phil's is a more coherent sentence.
Okay. First of all, there is a period. I can't say period. You can't see it, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And he, as they note in this episode, is both named Quizmaster and a Quizmaster. Technically, his name's not Quizmaster, but that is what he is referred
to
as.
Into that, his great name.
As if it is his name. So, technically, Sabrina Lucas Quizmaster is right.
I don't know. Chris just likes to
compete.
Chris
murdered it.
Anyway.
Whatever.
Two great descriptions.
You planned that sentence?
Yes.
You came with that prepared?
All right. Look. Guys, this isn't my, like, shady attempt to make me each of yours favorite sibling by making you two hate each other.
Oh, I love Fillmore. Sorry.
Fair enough.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, I'm sorry that mine is not as all-encompassing as yours, Chris.
This is all going to get cut. But
good, you should be.
No, all right. Wow. Phil, you want to take a shot at Chris right now?
No. I'm going to be the bigger person. Just take the high road.
Good. Also, you are the bigger person. I just got your text reading Chris Smith.
Oh, wow.
You're 6'2".
Wow, man. Here she goes. Okay.
Wow. I will remind you, we haven't even started the description of
the
episode
Chris
yet.
Is burning through.
Both accurate descriptions. First aired the 17th of April, 1998, and written by Holly Hester, which is a great fake name, I assume, because that's a terrible real name. We'll find out. The number one song when this episode aired, any guesses? April 98, Chris? Phil? Nobody?
April 98.
Yes.
I'm going to guess... good question. It's got to be something from, like, probably something from the Backstreet Boys, I'd guess.
No, this might be just pre-Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
All My Life by Casey and JoJo.
Oh, great song.
Here it is now.
No, I know the song.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Probably, but I will know.
You want me to start singing it?
No, it's okay.
We can do it together.
No.
Go ahead, Chris.
I pray for someone.
Yes, very true. Very okay.
And I thank God that I finally found you.
I'm not going to sync your audio, so you Phil's going to be like 3 seconds off.
Please don't include this.
Okay.
Include it all.
No, this will be a special bonus track for the Patreon. I'm definitely starting. All right, here we go.
You should.
The main, usually...
One person.
Yeah.
The three views that we'll get.
Me paying myself and losing money from Patreon.
This is just the episode where Chris is at peak shadiness.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
The main story, because I usually like to separate into A and B story, but it's really just all A story in this episode.
Mm-mm.
Pretty much is.
The Zelda bit falls into the Sabrina bit.
It does. They mesh, but they're technically two different stories.
No.
Her school life and her Quizmaster life.
All right, Chris is going to be...
I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to do your show.
Chris is the bad boy in this episode, clearly.
She's good. You're going to say the sky's blue. She's going to tell you, no, it's not. And she's going to describe it 10 different ways.
I was wishing that I was as exhausted as I was last time.
Fuck. She's had a cup of coffee. She's raring to go.
Oh, God.
The main story of this episode centers around Sabrina trying to pass her Elements test, a test which she starts by struggling to prepare for as we first see her trying to turn herself into water on her bed and failing, only to have Quizmaster and Salem ridicule her. She then eventually does succeed to go full Alex Mack, but Quizmaster just gives her some shade about not being able to do it sooner, and Salem lets them know that they probably should have invested in some PP sheets.
Am I the only one thinking we should have purchased some rubber sheets?
Elsewhere in the house, Zelda gets some good news that she's going to be subbing as Sabrina's chemistry teacher in Westbridge, though Hilda's concerned that her teaching past isn't super stellar.
Didn't you want to storm out in the middle of a class and never come back?
Yes, but that was only because they kept asking questions. And anyway, that was a long time ago.
Gosh, I wonder what happened to them.
Do you think Professor Spellman forgot about us? Let's give it another 5 minutes.
After we get to see a bunch of skeletons, Sabrina has some more problems with her testing. It's shown that her test issues are really studying related, as she's seen just wasting time with Salem answering stupid questions. Like, it seems like they're just both high and just going like, oh, if you had 6 feet, how fast could you run?
Do you think sea monkeys make good pets?
I feel like low maintenance.
How long would it take to hop across the world on your tongue?
Oh, I don't know, about 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah, this is a much better use of your time than studying for your Elements test.
Anyway, Quizmaster pops in and ridicules her, or derides her for not studying, but does hand her an invitation to a very special event in all of our lives. The Quizmaster and pupil, like, social that apparently happens every year. And bit of bad, not sportsmanship, but just, like, discourteous of Quizmaster to give her an invitation the day of the event. But he does give her a bit of good news about the new chicken shack that opened up by his house.
Every once in a while, you could try bringing good news.
A new Pollo Loco just opened up by my apartment.
I meant good news for me!
We're then at Westbridge, where Sabrina isn't exactly happy to have Zelda there, but Zelda's feeling confident that she's going to nail this whole teaching thing. She then begins her lesson on the redox reaction and, shockingly, does not nail this whole teaching thing.
You have a question?
Bell rang 10 minutes ago. Can we go now?
We later see Quizmaster and Sabrina arriving at this gala, where the two are bickering already. Quizmaster doing the classic, look at how better all of these other Quizmaster pupils are.
I can't believe you don't know how to turn yourself into fire and win yet. The test is in 3 days, and if you don't pass it, you won't get your witch's license.
You've mentioned that to me, 5,000 times? I could turn myself into water.
Anybody can do that. You see that waiter there? Those aren't cocktails. That's a tray full of students.
Oh, I don't even want to know what the crab cakes were.
Thank goodness the head Quizmaster doesn't know you don't know your Elements. I'd be dead meat.
And Sabrina getting irritated and running off to the bathroom to get away from him. She soon meets a stranger with curly hair and a very short green dress, and takes her into her confidence, explaining all the reasons why her quizmaster is irritating her. The stranger is shocked and supportive, saying that quizmasters' jobs are to be educators and they should be helping to make learning fun.
Having trouble on your elements test?
Yeah, I can't concentrate. I mean, my quizmaster keeps lecturing me.
Really? They're supposed to make it fun, not hard. Which one is he? The one dressed like a rodeo clown that keeps shoving tea cakes in his mouth?
When Sabrina returns to the quizmaster, they are greeted by the head quizmaster, who, stunningly, is this very young woman with curly hair in a green dress. Sabrina begins to worry about what she has said and starts to do all the classic, hey, we better get out of here, looks like a fire could break out bits. But the head quizmaster comes over quickly and reprimands. I'm trying not to name quizmaster's name until the big reveal later. But saying quizmaster talks to quizmaster is kind of...
head quizmaster.
Sure.
Boss quizlet master lady.
H-Q-M-I-C. Head quizmaster in charge.
Yeah, that's better.
Thank you. She reprimands non-H-Q-M-I-C for all of Sabrina's complaints.
He has a number. What was the number?
72409, something like that?
72469.
69. Ooh, 69. Hello. Phil's notes strike again. Anyway, so she tells Quizmaster how Sabrina's feeling. Sabrina plays dumb, and then head Quizmaster tells Quizmaster that he will no longer be Sabrina's Quizmaster. Yes, I do get 17 cents every time I say the phrase Quizmaster. Sabrina just then bemoans the fact that nobody in this goddamn realm ages normally.
Quizmaster 72469, are you aware that Sabrina is very unhappy with your teaching?
Well, she's in high school. She's unhappy with everything. What's going on?
I don't know. Sounds like someone ate the tapioca pudding way past the expiration date.
Effective immediately, you are terminated as Sabrina's quizmaster.
What?
That will be all.
Okay, so first bit here. We get to see Sabrina's study life and her failings as a student. The first thing that I noticed was Sabrina is sitting like cross-legged, or what do they call it? Pretzel-legged. What's the modern term?
Crisscross applesauce.
There we go. That is what she's doing on her bed, but she has full shoes on, which honestly is
no
gross.
Respect. She did not grow up in a Portuguese household.
Oh. What the fuck are you doing? Get that hat off the bed too. Hat's on a bed or a bad thing, apparently.
Yeah.
Just gross.
I mean, someone's gonna die, no?
Speaking of her not clearly growing up in a Portuguese household, Quizmaster this whole episode is the most, like, immigrant parent to her. It's just like, oh, look at all these other kids. How have you not learned this thing already, yep. You dumb idiot?
Yeah, Quizmaster is definitely the tiger mom.
Oh, my God. He's a first-generation American parent, if ever I've seen one. It's just like, why aren't you a doctor yet? Try harder.
A lot of pressure on you to be a doctor, is there, Al?
Yeah, and I failed. Phil, what did you have in this this segment here?
Well, in the beginning, I was what I kind of looked at was the whole situation with the two of them and Salem, and just kind of like how Salem is now just like more of the happy-go-lucky Salem. Instead of just, he's just like, yeah, whatever. Like, he doesn't care. Like you said before, you're looking at them talk to each other and like, you're like, what kind of like hashish have you guys gotten into?
Yep. Also, he's now well and truly the Don Rickles of the house, where he's just like, oh boy, this sounds like some bullshit. Hey, Sabrina, nice pants. Where'd you get them? Fucking dollar store? Fuck off. These are all real lines.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Salem.
I did find it hilarious, though, that the quizmaster was super excited that a Pollo Loco had opened up next door to him. Which, if you've ever been to California and eaten a Pollo Loco, you'd see why he's so surprised.
Is that a
so
real
happy.
Thing?
Yeah.
That is a real restaurant. Yeah, you can look it up.
I figured they had just, like, made up a chicken shack name.
No, it's really good. When I was out there for work, I went to a Pollo Loco. It's pretty good.
See, I that makes me kind of sad that they didn't use Kenny Rogers roasters instead.
Oh, but that's a Seinfeld gig.
That's a real thing too.
It is. They're still in existence in like the Philippines.
So weird. Fucking Kenny Rogers isn't in existence in the Philippines anymore.
Oh, come on.
That's messed up.
Okay, it was a timely joke. Timely. Not okay. That's how I say that word.
Timely.
It's a timely joke.
Chris, did you note anything from this scene?
I agree. I think Salem literally is just every other one-liner.
Yeah. It's good. It's good in this episode, but sometimes it's like you want him to be more of a character.
Turning yourself into fire, water, and wind is one of the hardest things a witch has to learn.
For me, it was learning when to say no to pie.
It's a lot, though. And it's obviously like they're forming him into that kind of a character. Mm-hmm. But like when it doesn't really add anything to the context, it's just consistently like...
too much. Especially later when Hilda is trying to like teach Sabrina. It's just like every 3 seconds it's like, oh, hey, Hilda, would you fart?
They're not
even
Hilda, that funny, though.
Nice shirt. Oh, hey, Hilda, gooses or something.
Cabbage. Eat some cabbage.
Cabbage was funny, though. Nah. Phil, you were saying...
Also, you know, I know that we have a new format on the show, but yes. To go back to the old school format.
Oh, heaven, I apologize, Phil.
Come on, Al.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep it's too many plates in the air. I have obviously neglected to bring up that it is, of course, time again to venture into everyone's favorite part of the house. It's Phil's costume corner.
The opening.
Phil, what do you have for us this week?
All right, so do we remember what Sabrina came out, what kind of costume she came out in?
I do. Chris, do you?
This morning? In the morning. This morning?
This
what
morning.
Did she wear this morning? No, I totally overlooked it.
She was wearing...
I wasn't paying attention.
A very well-made peanut costume, which is just like a big, giant styrofoam peanut and some like yellow
leggings.
It
almost looked like they stole it off like a Mr. Peanut, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like an actual Mr. Peanut.
Was there a monocle?
No, we had to take the monocle and the hat off so the police didn't catch him.
Yeah, that way they can't. They don't have to pay royalties then. But do we remember what she said, what her catchphrase was?
I listened to it, and then I'm like, I should remember this, and then I forgot it. But like, I feel like 95% confident that saying like, it's like, I've got a nutty disposition or something like that.
Ooh, no, you were close. But that's me in a nutshell, is what she said.
It's accurate.
That's good, too. Because she's literally in the nutshell.
Yeah.
Because she's good literally job. In the nutshell.
Melissa Joan Hart, one step ahead of us at all times.
Yeah, she wrote
if
that.
If you're seeing, they're starting to get better than they used to be, because they used to be, like, really, really bad.
They were pretty bad.
That's good, because everything else is getting worse.
Except Salem jokes.
Salem is just good, is turning into, like, that, you know, that... pissed off old uncle who just like is like bah.
I will say his puppet's getting hella cute though.
Oh yeah, it's good. It's not as good as like good. Latter half of the series where it's just like an adorable little like stuffed animal, but
he's
like
cute
this is
right now.
This actually is believable.
This is peak Salem.
But I think
peak Salem puppet.
I think this is the second Salem puppet. It might be the third, but I think the third one is the best one.
I don't know. This one's pretty good.
So in terms of stories that are going on here, we did also touch on Zelda being Sabrina's substitute. I do love when they go to the classroom of like Zelda's previous teaching job,
mm-hmm.
and there's just like 12 skeletons and a very old woman and a very old man, and they're like, should we wait for Zelda? And
yeah.
then he's like, let's give it 5 minutes. It's like, guys, once the third guy died, why didn't you like check and see if everyone else's health was okay? You just not only did you
they're magical pupils, no?
I guess.
Why the fuck are they so old?
I mean, here's the other thing. Like, well, because she's...
I was didn't consider that.
It was a really long time, Chris.
I mean, it's, you know, it's probably been thousands of years since she taught. But if you think about it, like, okay, well, we were all in high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you guys probably weren't as troublemaker as I was. But the second the teacher was gone for, like, 20 minutes, you're like, oh, F this. We're out of here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just got up and left. You're
How
done
was your
with it.
Teacher leaving for 20 minutes at a time?
They did.
That seems inappropriate.
It was freshman high school, Chris. It was probably to break up like a murder.
It was like, not back then. It wasn't that bad, but it was probably to break up a fight of some sort.
Probable homicide.
And like once that was going on, you just, okay, see you later. Just leave. I mean, are you really going to wait there years and years? Come on.
I will say that I was not... as much a bad boy as Phil or Chris on this podcast.
Bad boy.
But
I'll flip this table over right now.
I don't care.
I'll do it.
That's why I didn't put a table in front of you, because you just flip it over.
Do this
you
one.
I'll flip whatever the fuck you want. You got a pancake?
Flip
I'll make
all
it right
the tables.
Now.
Flip the world.
Nice.
Because it's flat.
Well, revealing a bit too much of Chris's
opinion there. I promise I'm not a flat earther.
Anyway, I will say that my senior year, like, I only had like 5 classes because, like, that's how schools work in New York, where it's like if you take full semesters for the first 3 years, by like your last year, it's like you only need so many classes, so you're
not
like a half
Chris.
Day.
Chris is fucked. Like, give me all the extra APs. I think I took 4 APs my last year.
You're the nerd. Anyway,
take a tell.
I didn't have to take gym though for last 2 years because I was on the soccer team.
I think kudos to you.
A different side story, but this is gonna be 4 hours long. They decided to give me health class in, like, they just scheduled you whenever, but I ended up with it in like senior year, and they're like, all right,
I got a senior year too,
here's how sex works. And I'm like, guy, it's fucking, we're all seniors in high school, give us some credit.
Half of these people are pregnant.
I know. Fucking Nancy over there has got 6 months on that stomach of hers. You couldn't have sped this up a little?
Half of these people are pregnant. What are you talking about? We need it.
But anyway, my last year of school, like, I only had 5 classes, so I was out at like noon. But my last class was like wood shop, and I think my class ended at like 12:09. But the bus to come home, like, because we took city buses, the bus would stop at the bus stop at like 12:04 or like 12:20 something. So I would always just like slowly like fade, like I would just like sneak out like 10 minutes and just like leave 10 minutes early every day. And like my teacher, I would just like wait until my teacher's back was turned and just like leave the class 10 minutes early.
Wow.
And I got Rebel. An A. I got like a 90 something in the class.
And she never said anything to you, or they never said anything to you?
He did once, but he was like, eh, whatever, you're fine. And that's my story of being a bad boy.
Hey.
Jim was last. Jim was last period too.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to take it.
Al telling his story, I'm literally like thinking of like West Side Story, like Al just like snapping his way out of down the hallway out to the bus.
There was a lot of dancing involved, yes. So anyway,
with his little chasse.
Chris, I want your opinion on this, because it seemed weird to me that Sabrina would immediately take just some girl into her confidence.
No.
Is this something girls do in
the bathrooms?
It's what
happens in the ladies' room.
Huh?
It's what happens in the ladies' room.
You literally just go in there and like, oh, gather around, bitches. I got something to vent.
I mean, yeah. Not some people. It's not everyone's personality is the same. But I think, like, if you're at, like, a weird social event like that and you see a girl who, like, looks, like, around
has
your
great
age.
Curls.
Like, yeah, you just start chatting sometimes. Especially if alcohol's involved.
Which there definitely was for this 16-year-old.
Oh, without a doubt. It's a magical event.
Yeah, but she's still 16.
So?
Even if they're drinking absinthe or
they're
whatever.
They're not IDing still her at the Quizmaster ball.
Certainly not.
Ball.
Certainly not her
social
witch's license, because she doesn't have it yet.
Get together.
Well done. Did you also notice how short the dresses were on both of these
Sabrina's
girls?
Was way worse. Like, who's? Sabrina's was like coochie level.
They were both bad. Like,
but hers, when you see them standing next to each other, the other girl's is way longer than Sabrina's.
I don't think so.
Like, it's still short. It's still a mini dress.
Yeah.
But Sabrina's is like legit. Like, she can't bend.
It's funny. You see Melissa Joan Hart tugging at like the bottom of this thing the whole time.
It's bad. I thought it looked cute on her though.
I actually like the other girl's dress better. Like the green one. I think it was a nicer dress.
Do you recognize her?
I feel like
she was on Seventh Heaven.
This is one of those things she might have been. This is one of those things where like very much like I always thought that what's his face was playing the guy from the Violent Femmes.
Yeah.
I always assumed that this was the woman who played Lunette on Big Comfy Couch. I think just because they both had very curly hair.
No, I think you're right. Literally just because like it I feel like you got it. Like, I feel like that's who it is.
First time for everything. Let's find out right now. Old man, witch judge, mouse, principal craft.
Clannad and Dolly.
See full cast.
Ashley Levitch is her name. Or Levitch.
Yes, Amy. Apparently her name was Amy.
She's a Libra.
I do not think she was on Big Comfy Couch though, Chris. No, she was not, sadly.
She was on
an episode of Sybil.
She was on Hocus Pocus.
She was. And she was on Felicity.
Oh, she was the sister from Hocus Pocus?
Is that what you know her from? She was on the show The Simple Life.
Ooh.
And she was on Seventh
She's
Heaven,
All
Chris.
That.
You know who she is on Seventh Heaven, actually? I remember it now. She's the girl who Matt befriends on, like, episode 3, who is pregnant.
Yeah.
That's who she is.
You know, this just isn't where I saw my life going. I mean, I always thought I'd be a singer, a music teacher, an astronaut. Anything but an unwed mother. Well, you know, maybe I can be the first singing unwed mother astronaut.
Showing clearly that she had already had
she's
the baby
on the West
point.
Wing and Felicity.
Phil, do you have anything else for this scene? Because I just have one more note.
No, go ahead.
All right. To me, the thing that stuck out most or just was very funny and kind of felt like this is the Quizmaster I wanted to see more of was when right before the head Quizmaster comes over to talk to them, Quizmaster sees that Sabrina's all nervous and he says, "Sabrina, are you okay? You look whiter than usual."
You okay, Sabrina? You're whiter than usual.
Because she's white.
Yes. I liked that. I liked that as a line for him, but I also, it struck me that, like, Sabrina is a blonde girl living in Massachusetts who knows Britney Spears personally and whose mom is an archaeologist. She's as white as you can get. Like, there is no shade of whiter on, like, the bare paint chart.
Also, she's, like, super pale.
Also, she's very pale. Like, she's not getting whiter. That would be like lucite. That's the only thing whiter than Sabrina.
Technically, lucite is not white.
Oh my god, here we go.
It is transparent.
Chris has gone from bad boy to nerd in one foul swoop.
Are they not the same thing?
Even Valerie is more like pigmented.
Because she's got darker hair.
That's true.
You always see more tan when you have darker hair. People always think I'm like darker than I am.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly like, no, I'm white as hell.
Yeah. Baby, how you feel? Feeling white as hell?
No.
Fuck you. And fuck you. That was good. Give it what it deserves. All right. Anyway.
Phil was speaking.
Huh?
Phil was speaking and he stopped speaking because I was speaking. So okay. Please give Phil the time to
Certainly.
Continue to
Phil,
speak.
Phil, I will give you equal time.
Thank you. I think the only way she could be whiter is if her mother was Martha Stewart. Then she could be the whitest person ever.
The woman who plays her mom is not like too far away from
Martha
Stewart.
Martha Stewart hangs with Snoop Dogg.
That's true, though.
Not 1990.
Sabrina does
so.
Too, though.
Martha Stewart's been to jail.
Sabrina hangs with Snoop Dogg when she zaps him out of... that was Coolio.
That was Coolio, you dirty racist.
Yeah, I know. Snoop Dogg's way better than Coolio.
I know.
Calm down.
I'll remove this from the audio so that it can't be held against you when you run for Senate.
It's like it never existed.
That's right.
Dick.
This whole episode would be thrown into the trash if the whole series, if any of us ever run for anything.
Like they'll find this garbage.
How dare you, Phil? That will be cut. It's not garbage. Anyway, at home, Zelda thanks Salem for letting her work through a lesson plan with him, though he's subtly pulled a little bit of a prank behind her back. He put a note on her back. As Sabrina returns, she recounts her problems to Zelda and everything that just happened, who feels bad for her and tells her that if she does want to make a change in terms of Quizmasters, the Witcher's Council has domain over the Quizmasters and she should talk to them. Sadly, no, there's no Drell. She goes to the Witcher's Council and explains how she got Quizmaster fired, and very poignantly so, but is immediately turned down by the judge, as the judge explains that she explained, man, I'm using the word explained a lot, how Quizmaster got fired, but she didn't highlight why she needs the Quizmaster back.
It's totally my fault. I'm completely to blame. And I think there might have been something weird in the punch.
You've stated your case eloquently. No.
Why?
Miss Spellman, you explained how you got your Quizmaster fired, but you never explained why you need him back.
Oh. Well, did I mention the punch?
The Quizmaster is then summoned by the judge, who's given a new assignment, a real, talking about bad boys, a real bad boy named Ralph.
Meet Ralph.
Sir. It is an honor to meet you. I have been following your career for years, and it is a privilege to work with you.
But once Sabrina tries to apologize to him, he just notes that she wasn't learning with him, and it's probably best to just accept the change, and they'll both be better off without each other. They leave, as Sabrina says that she just gives the two of them a month. Sabrina is then seen in her kitchen and pretty dramatically going through all the stages of grief as Salem annotates them.
I'm so at peace with what's happened between me and the Quizmaster. I believe everything happens for a reason.
And that's why we call this stage denial.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you feeling today?
Can't believe the Quizmaster hasn't had the decency to call me after all the mean things he said.
Welcome, anger.
The toaster soon dings with a message, which Sabrina believes is going to be the Quizmaster groveling for her, but in reality is a note from the Witch's Council saying that they're temporarily out of Quizmasters and that she'll have to be homeschooled. An idea which Sabrina likes, as Zelda is an excellent teacher, despite teaching mortals. But with Zelda's temporary job at Westbridge, Sabrina will have to be homeschooled by the dunce of the family, Hilda.
I'm afraid I'm too busy substituting to do it. It's your Aunt Hilda.
You know what we haven't played in a long time? Goofy Golf.
No!
And let's give a big, warm welcome to Sadness.
Hilda's attempts to teach Sabrina how to turn herself into the remaining elements, that being fire and wind, don't go very well, as she has trouble remembering how to do either one, but she does give us a really great story about her boyfriend and trying to murder him on a beach.
I guess the last time was when I was on vacation in the Caribbean with my boyfriend Danny. We got into a fight and he stormed out to take a walk. Well, I didn't want him to enjoy his walk, so I... But in the end, the joke was on me. He fell in love with one of his rescue workers.
Her comments about being about feeling very windy at one point just leave the court open for Salem to come in and slam dunk a great joke. Here it is.
I think I'm turning into wind. I feel a little breeze.
That's just the life going out of us.
Anyway, we then go back to Westbridge, where Harvey, Sabrina, and the class are still struggling with a redox reaction, including Libby, who tells Zelda to just fail her. That is until... That is... Shut your fucking mouth.
Until...
Tongue gets in the way sometimes. That is until Zelda gives her an analogy with something that all girls can understand. Shopping!
I think it's more styling than shopping.
Sorry. Fashion!
There you go. With a U.
Perhaps an analogy will help you. Say you have a sweater and a skirt that you always wear together. And say one day you decide to wear the sweater with a new skirt. Therefore, the new skirt and the old skirt both change into something different. You see, the copper
gives an electron to the hydrogen in the nitric acid, causing the copper to become a solution.
That's it, Libby!
Once she gets the understanding of the redox reaction, Sabrina is just as jealous and pissed. We then get some more shots of Hilda trying to encourage Sabrina to turn into the elements after she remembers how to turn into fire herself. And I do like the fact that Hilda, like, in trying to convince or trying to teach Sabrina how to turn into fire, basically gives us the worst cheer ever made.
Ready? Okay. Be fire!
I thought it was like the best thing she's done. Like, it was
it is
fucking
pretty funny.
Perfect.
It is pretty funny. Once this fails, she tries to give Sabrina a bit more of encouragement, but Sabrina is just distraught by Hilda's lessons and perceives that Hilda is insulting her by saying that she's not thinking. And then she goes upstairs in a huff. And I have to tell you, I had to edit my notes because I used "in a huff" so many times to describe what Sabrina was doing at one point that it would have become monotonous. All right. But anyway, let's talk about these scenes here. I do really want to talk about the scene of Salem and Zelda talking to each other and her working through the lesson plan, because I also really want a shot. Or just, I want to see that scene of Salem sticking that note to Zelda's back without her noticing. It's like, did he use a fucking slingshot? What happened?
It's not a note. The thing looks like a freaking, like, campaign poster on the back.
It's pretty big, and it's on there real good. And so, like, was part of Zelda's lesson plan to, like, lay on the floor face down for a second? So he could just walk on her back? I do love how when the other realm judge calls in Quizmaster. Like, I'm so accustomed to just, like, people showing up out of a puff of smoke. Like, Ralph does. Ralph shows up out of a puff of smoke. But, like, Quizmaster just, like, walks in from offset. He's just like, Quizmaster 72469. And he just, like, strolls in and is like, well, you're really breaking the fourth wall here, Quizmaster.
He was already there.
He was there and didn't say anything and wasn't in the shot.
Yeah. Great. It's like he was outside of the courtroom.
I mean, he literally meandered in. It wasn't even like he just like head down, like meandering in, like, like.
Before I do forget, however, the scene when he's at, when they're at the gala and he's wearing the same outfit here, he is wearing the nicest thing Quizmaster has ever worn. It's like this beautiful, like, black jacket with like
the gold,
like paisley on it. He looks fucking really? Great. I love it.
Oh, dude, it looked like something out of like Michael Jackson's closet or Prince. Like he literally stole it from the Prince garage sale or
dude,
something. Compared, it looked awful.
Compared to what he was wearing in the beginning with that big orange shirt.
Yeah,
like,
that was fucking awful.
The weird patchwork pants, which he's worn before.
I do like what he wears later on, though. The black and white.
Yeah, the black and white looks a lot
good.
Better.
I mean, it looks like something a human being would have actually worn in 1998.
Yeah.
I still like that paisley deal.
One of my favorite things is whenever they show magical people from the other realm, like earlier when they were at the social, and now, I love to see what they're wearing, because like their way of making people seem magical is to just put them in velvet and weird patterns and colors.
Odd
and put
hats.
A big ass hat.
Odd hats. Oh yeah. Like, this is something
boom,
they've done since
you're
stage,
magical.
Since, like, episode one with, like, Debbie Harry, but it's like, oh my god, not everyone dresses like they're at a fucking joust.
It's just like, I was trying to look at the people sitting at the table, mm-hmm. and like,
multicultural,
it's just, like,
though, there's an Asian
big,
woman, I believe.
Big ass ties with, yeah. like, big prints and, like, everyone's in velvet. Like, what says magical about velvet?
I feel like so often this show, in terms of the other realm, just leans on like, what is the opposite of what you would expect a normal thing to be? So like, we'll talk about it when we get to Quizmaster's apartment as the cat just stomps around like she's a fucking horse.
Sorry, the cat.
Like, Quizmaster's apartment waiter is just like every like set dressing from like the weird kid's room in like Saved by the Bell.
It made me think yep. of do you remember that scene where Sabrina has to like decorate that blank
yes.
room
yep.
and she just throws color everywhere? Mm-hmm. That's what it made me think
that's
of.
True.
It kind of reminded me of the old like board game Mousetrap, ironically with the mouse in it.
We'll get there, man.
You know how like Mousetrap had like all these different color things all over the
yeah,
place?
And just,
it was
like
very
arrows
colorful.
And
arrows. That's literally what it reminded me of.
There is some great pieces of like hideous furniture in Quizmaster's apartment we'll talk to.
His
we'll talk,
pillows.
We'll talk to the furniture in a little while. I'll Skype him in. Phil, what did you have in this chunk here?
So, you know, I like to look at things like on, you know, try to look for like little clues or little things like that are like, you know, off to the side. So like when they're in the classroom and they're teaching her about the redux mm-hmm. Theory or reaction.
Yes.
The first thing that came to mind with me was Rednecks and the song Cotton Eye Joe. And then every time I saw it, I couldn't get that damn song out of my head.
Rednecks redux? Reaction.
Yeah, because of Rednecks. Yeah, because I, you know, for some reason I look at redux and I like Rednecks stuck in my head. And, like, all I was thinking was freaking Cotton Eye Joe as I'm watching this freaking episode. But then I'm sitting there. So then I'm like, then I had to, like, watch, when I watched it twice, I'm like, oh, my God, it's not Rednecks, it's Redux.
Of course you were scheming with Schmidt.
Because I didn't do anything.
You think that Schmidt and Winston would be smart enough to duct tape the soundboard? That's brilliant. Plus, we both know that this is your CD.
Ready, you got the ready.
Why did you name me for this? Nick?
Winston must have taken that out of my car.
How gullible do you think I am? You're fist pumping right
well,
now.
Well, I'm not fist pumping.
Yes, you are.
Ah! It's so friggin' catchy.
Very quickly, my favorite thing of that, of the first scene of Zelda trying to teach the kids is the fact that, like, it's really well done in that she gets progressively less and less like, it's like she's teaching a stupider and stupider person.
She's like, you know, she starts very high level and then she starts like, okay, you put potion one and potion two together. This happens. Smoky smoke. And they're just like,
The fact that she uses the phrase like noxious gas honeymoon was one of my favorite things. Like, oh, I love it.
Then Mr. Copperman marries Mrs. Acid. And they go on their noxious gas honeymoon.
I also was thinking about the elements and how, like, Hilda couldn't remember how to do it. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think that, like, elements must be one of those, like, magical lessons, like calculus, that you'll never fucking use again in your life.
Hilda does do it.
I feel like it would be useful. What if you just want to peace out and you're like, okay, bye, water.
Why water? Why not wind, Chris?
Because water.
I'll just take the what if tunnel
just,
home.
What if you're standing on the street corner and there's a drain? Okay? Bye, water.
Or someone's like, oh, this bitch is fire. And then literally you could turn into fire.
Yeah.
Or you had too much Mexican food the night before. And you turned into fire to burn off all the smells.
Mm, yeah, Salem.
Smart.
Real misread there on my part. I do like the idea, though, like, of, Hilda used the elements to turn into wind to get back at her boyfriend or whatever after they had a fight. I like the idea of mortals using, like, calculus to get back at their boyfriends when they get mad at them.
She's going to solve a really hard problem.
I'll teach you. I'm going to write an insult, but you got to solve it. But it's bad. E equals MC, go fuck yourself.
I know you kind of brought up, like, the Witches Council scene. Like, how about, like, how whiny she is, like, when they're, like, judging against her?
Oh, dude. The most...
Sabrina. Like, she gets, like, so whiny. It's like, look, like, just take your shit and go with it. Like, you got yourself into this shit.
She's about to go back to the to the Witches Council a second time, but the most honest to life or honest to the character thing in this whole episode is when the judge is just like, you know, you can't just barge in here like we're not doing anything. Like, this isn't like, imagine Sabrina in a fucking nutshell is just like, everyone stop what you're doing. I have a problem that I can easily solve through my magic, but I still want you to know about it.
But if I were to try, I would probably fuck it up.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty much useless.
I mean, the whole irony here is that she literally could solve this problem with magic. All she has to do is the three things of magic to solve this problem.
And not even that, she could solve this problem by just, like, being a better person. I'll say in this way, this is actually a better, like, lesson, because it's not something that she can just resolve easily with magic. The issue isn't that she can't learn. The issue is that her reaction to not being able to learn, and that's really more like a lesson about, you know, not getting hung up on things and, like, basically changing your outlook. But, like, that in a way is better than it just being like, oh, you can't always have everything you want. It's like, no, you're a witch, you can literally have everything you want.
The lesson is that Sabrina is the problem.
That's the lesson.
She is
series.
Her own biggest problem.
I mean, but we also see
show
like more
solved.
Done.
But we also see more typical, like, Sabrina-ness. Like, so, like, when the head quiz master, you know, comes and introduces herself, and she's like, you know, she just tries to say that it's her evil twin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's more of her.
We,
like,
haven't gotten to that.
That's right. That's next season.
Oh, what are you talking about? Oh,
the evil twin? And she's not a brunette.
Yeah, I'm sitting there like, really? Like, you obviously said this to this person. Like, just go ahead and go through it. Let's go through life. Like, oh, you just can't be blaming your problems on something else.
My evil twin, who's wearing the same far too short dress that I am. It was a sale.
How ironic. She's a brunette.
We bought one regular length dress and cut it in half.
Half price.
I will say, in terms of fashion, as I just touched on it, Caroline Ray is wearing the like quintessential Hilda look of bright colored cardigan with matching like skirt and voluminous
velvet
feather.
There's
scarf.
There's
not scarf,
velvet
but, like,
patches
collar.
On the like
yep.
arms, and then sheer panels. And then it's not just fuzzy, it's like feathery.
Feathers.
Like, it's
like
fucking
a big, it's like a
high.
Boa. It's like they cut up a boa. It is like this is what
literally Zelda was wearing a fucking plain red t-shirt tucked into some jeans earlier. Why do they always play her like this?
The funny thing is, like, I'm so used to seeing Zelda dressed up, and when I saw her like that, I'm like,
I know, it was weird.
What is she doing? Painting a hutch?
And
what
her and Sabrina
doing?
Were wearing very similar things, like just like t-shirt tucked into jeans.
Honestly, like, Zelda wearing a shirt tied at the waist is to Hilda wearing like a cardigan with like a big billowy collar like this. Like, it is, if I'm drawing them, that is how I draw them. So Sabrina then goes to Quizmaster's apartment to say hi, but is greeted by a human in a rat suit. This is Quizmaster's roommate, who is just a hideous man in every way.
Hi, I'm looking for my Quizmaster. Well, my ex-Quizmaster. Who are you?
I'm his roommate. But from the way I clean up after him, you'd think I was his mother.
He invites her in after she says she's here to talk to her ex-Quizmaster. And when Quizmaster greets Sabrina, he tells her that things are going great with Ralph. As he does, she tries to cover up by saying that, you know, she's just here because she was updating her address book, only to have her eventually come out and apologize about how things went down.
Look, I'm really sorry about what happened the other day.
It was all my fault. I was mad, and you know, I said some things.
I was beginning to worry.
This apology, however, is short-lived, as Sabrina is horrified to discover that Ralph is there in the apartment, as Quizmaster is tutoring him there, a place where he never brought her. She is even more shocked to find out that Quizmaster is named Albert, of all things. And,
shocker!
Not only did he never bring her there, he never brought her to the old beach house or whatever it was.
Lake Arrowhead.
Lake Arrowhead.
Hello, Sabrina.
What's he doing here?
Nothing. I'm just quizzing him.
At your apartment? You never quiz me at your apartment.
Really? What about his weekend place in Lake Arrowhead?
Ralph, that's enough. How about we end our lesson for today?
She complains that he never told her his name, although, as he does point out, she really never bothered to ask. He tells her that she hasn't changed at all after she gets mad about all this, and she can never admit when she's wrong, including when she needs him. She can't admit that she needs him. She obviously doesn't admit this, and as Albert says that Ralph is the best student he ever had, she says that she's already passed her elements test, although when he just like asks if that's true, she immediately gives up the goat. Or the ghost, it's ghost.
He gives up the ghost.
Take my goat. I don't need it. So she gives up the
ghost. I heard ghost. I mean, I thought you said goat, but isn't that
what it's ghost.
It's ghost?
It's ghost.
I thought it was goat.
No, it gives up the ghost.
Damn it.
Anyway, she gives her goat away, gets two chickens in exchange, and she just says no and stops. And this is where I wrote leaves in a huff, but I changed it to angrily admits the truth.
I've learned all the elements and passed my midterm with flying colors.
Really?
No!
She then goes to the Witch's Council again with a new argument that she now realizes how important Quizmaster is to her, and that thinking back, they've had so many great times together, leading to maybe the most hilarious montage this series has ever done.
Because they're all wearing the same outfit that they're wearing so right good. Now.
Exactly. I mean, that is also funny, yes. But this includes them in a hot air balloon together, just like over the savannah for some reason.
The African savannah.
The two of them getting matching tattoos of each other's faces on their arms.
That are clearly like hand-drawn.
They are.
Like crayons.
I really like how poorly Sabrina's face looks on Quizmaster's arm.
Why would you draw her with her hair up? Of all the reference photos to use, like, that's still...
Just look at her. She's right there.
I mean...
Did you see what Sabrina's tattoo said?
No, I didn't.
It's was it like keep quizzling or keep...
It says keep on quizzing.
That's what it was.
With the Quizmaster's face on. It was so great.
I've often told Chris, not often, but once in a while, I've mentioned it. Like, if I was to ever get a tattoo, I'm such a sarcastic motherfucker, but I would get the classic mom tattoo with, like, a heart.
But it would say wow.
It would say wow. It would be mom upside down.
You would just look like an idiot.
I mean, I would look like an idiot with a tattoo either way.
$300, please.
What a great joke. Everyone will love this joke tattoo. Oh,
jokes on them.
It's literally just that episode of The Simpsons where Bart gets it and has to have it removed immediately.
Ay, caramba!
Now, whatever you do, boy, don't squirm. You don't want to get this sucker near your eye or your groin.
But yes, so we not only do they get tattoos, they're then seen going to give blood. That's a fond memory Sabrina has. Which we should all be giving blood if we can right now, because blood supplies are short. But it is really well done that Quizmaster then comes out of the blood van and just like walks for a second and then just like goes head first into the side of the van.
Like, that shit ain't no joke.
God bless Alamy Ballard for like committing to that. There's then maybe my favorite, because it's Sabrina getting her comeuppance. They're shown sparring, like, in Sabrina's room, just, like, boxing. In the same... This might be right before or right after they get tattooed, because they're wearing the same outfit. And he just fucking clocks her one real good. He does feel bad, but, like, she hits him a little one, and then he just, like...
Yeah, he knocked her out.
He's like...
Dude, he Mike Tysoned her.
Mama gonna knock you out. Just fucking...
That's exactly what happened.
Drops her like a bad habit. And then lastly, but certainly not leastly, we see them having gone on a shopping excursion together. Ugh. Sabrina modeling like a very floral pink outfit. And then
I feel like that dress was used in another episode.
It's possible.
I feel like she wore it with Vesta.
Ooh, that I don't know. It doesn't feel like a it feels like it's not one of the ones I would remember, but the gag here is then Quizmaster tries it on and does look very good. Like, the man is in shape, he's got good legs, and Sabrina accurately and correctly gives him, like, Nancy Pelosi claps. Like, she does, like, the vertical clapping that's just, like half sarcasm, half approving, but I think these are the good old days, so fond memories. Sabrina liked the dress on him. Anyway, despite all of these fond memories, Sabrina's request to have Quizmaster back because she now realizes that there's nothing more important than a friend is again denied by the Witches' Council, and she's told to fuck off once more.
So that's why I need my Quizmaster back with me, because nothing makes a better teacher than a friend.
Wow. Nope.
Okay, so we covered the montage pretty well and in depth, but it is a wonderful bit of montaging. Like, sometimes some of these are just like so long and so meaningless, but like this one, every joke, it builds well, everyone is better than the last, and they're all really funny ideas, I thought.
If you were to come up with new other things that could be included in the montage,
sure. What would you have them do? I would say, like, batting practice.
What about you, Phil?
I'd have her clock her again because she probably deserves another one.
Greco-Roman wrestling and just drop her on her neck.
No, do like the American Gladiators, like Q-tips, and just whack her a good one around the head. Oh,
yeah, that sounds good.
That'd be good. I like to see them like maybe take a cooking class together.
Oh.
Yeah, I was thinking like baking.
Yeah.
I would do one with washing his car.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be great, but then, like...
And then, like, she, like, sprays him with the hose, and he's like, oh, stop it.
It's like a convertible, and, like, then they start goofing around, and then Sabrina, like, doesn't notice that she's moving the hose, and it sprays inside the car? What a world. Let's talk more so about, like, their big argument here at Quizmaster's Pad, and I think we should start by talking about Quizmaster's Pad.
It's fucking weird.
It's weird in every regard.
I mean, I think it's just, like, really fucking creepy that they set up the scene to be like as if they were like actual exes,
like lovers,
and it's like it just feels really fucking weird. And then on top of that, like the whole all of the Ralph bits, like it's so clearly set up to have that feel
like he's a new girlfriend. Yeah,
but also it seems a little inappropriate that Ralph is
so
like at the Quizmaster's house. Like, I get if you think of it as, like, your tutor, then, yeah, you might go to your tutor's house for tutoring, but it just feels really fucking weird. I mean,
how about a weekend at Lake Arrowhead?
Yeah,
huh?
that tutoring one. Here's what I will say, though. I fucking love sassy Ralph, okay?
He's here to steal your fucking man.
He's here to pass your tests and steal your boy. Let me tell you.
He's that bitch stealing your fucking boyfriend away from you. You better watch out.
Like,
It's going to snatch your fucking wig, steal your fucking man.
He's a wig snatching son of a bitch, that one.
He is not here to play. Like, just the joy he gets out of finding out that
he's here to turn into water and vamoose out that door.
And he's going to turn into fire and burn your ass.
Speaking of fire, I love how the rat tells the quizmaster not to forget the charcoal briquettes. To put that on the list because they're out of it.
Let's talk about the rat in a second. I just want to say this.
What was I missing? I didn't get it.
The fact that Ralph loves the fact that Sabrina is like butthurt about him having a better relationship with Quizmaster than she does. I don't know. It's just something about it that I love so much. It's just like, no, good. Good for Ralph, all right? Because Sabrina's an asshole, and he's got a healthy relationship with Quizmaster, and Sabrina is the one that's fucked up. I stan this legend, Ralph. Now,
he's a sassy ass bitch, is all I can say.
I love it. I want a Ralph shirt.
He's like,
who played Ralph? Let's find out.
Ralph for president.
Yes.
Ralph 2020.
Chris, speak very quickly about the decor. Speed this fucking shit up. Touch on the decor of Quizmaster's abode.
It looks like color threw up.
Yes.
It looks like I guess like if someone were gonna think like, oh, we're gonna make like Andy Warhol's apartment.
Yeah.
But like super cheap and tacky.
Yes.
Cheap and tacky.
At the same time, I would describe it as like the pleasure dome, but take out all the pleasure.
And then we're gonna we're gonna make it kind of young by like putting random like arrows and like graphic things everywhere.
Big colors and shapes all over the place. Like, there's a giant like sculpture of like a weird blue hand.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of like weird little sculptures.
Yeah, like set dressing.
Yeah. I think that goes in with like the kind of decor that they just think seems like magical or
wacky.
It's like bizarre fucking shit mixed together.
Nothing has a 90 degree angle on it. That's the other
if
realm.
It's tacky, it's magical.
Yep. Quizmaster, he has a desk, and the desk has a chair that is just like a very glossy black like body.
Oh, I saw that.
But, like,
yeah,
kneeling or like doing a squat, so like you sit on the person's like lap. It's just like, what the fuck? How much money? Like, you know, none of this stuff costs like less than $1,000.
Yeah, it's
like
probably all really fucking expensive, honestly. But they had it in the prop house.
So oh, no, like, I know. But
go shopping at the prop house for the ugliest, tackiest shit.
If you're the quiz master, like, you've
He's
spent
magical.
All your money.
Just fucking zap it in. Off-brand Andy Warhol.
You try to do it and like a thing comes out of your finger. It's like, won't make crap. Sorry.
I also found it really fucking creepy that the rat mouse is a rat though, right?
It's definitely a rat. He's a big fucking rat.
Okay. Yeah, that he kept saying that Sabrina wanted him. Yeah. Like, dude, you're fucking gross. Stop being gross.
He's described as Mouse in IMDb, played by Brent Hinckley, who is in Silence of the Lambs. Big shock. Yes, it is disgusting that he's like, she's so into me or she wants me.
She's
it's
a
like,
fucking teenager.
She's 16 and you're old enough to be a big fat rat.
Inappropriate.
She so wanted me.
Honestly. And you're doing it in front of her. The second time he does it, it's like you're in a fucking
multiple times
balloon. So weird. But yes, I do
Quizmaster,
I do think,
you're not going to say shit?
I will say this. No, he's not.
No.
He's one of
He's getting his comeuppance with Ralph.
He's one of those roommates. Gross. He's one of those roommates that's just like, I won't criticize, but I don't approve. You know,
yeah,
one of those guys.
Great, you're really helping.
Yeah, what a legend. I will say, however, I do think this is the best episode in terms of use of the Quizmaster, and it's not just that like he finally gets an episode that revolves around him in some way.
Yeah.
Fuck! It took 22 episodes in a season.
I think because it really highlights Sabrina's flaws.
Yeah.
In the situation, and it's not just like Quizmaster's popping up at random times making her do shit that she's not prepared for. This is like, no, he's been trying to actually help her, and she like caused this situation, and then she realizes like she really actually likes having him around despite constantly bitching about the fact that he's around.
But like, this is like the first time, and obviously it's because you flesh out like who he is as a person, but like, he actually feels like a legitimate character and not just like someone who's just like pops in to advance a plot.
Yeah.
Like, he feels like someone who's actually a part of this show, and it only took 22 episodes of the 26 episodes in the season he was in. Like, and he's only in, like, half of these, so, like, it's just insane.
Yeah, he's just a prop.
And that sucks, because also, I mean, we don't really talk about it often, but, like, he's the only black character on the show. At all. Like...
Yeah.
Until Dreama comes along, that's friend with Libby.
And they
Libby.
Do the same thing with Dreama.
Yeah. And Dreama lasts like even less time than Quizmaster does. Sabrina is then shown in her science class, as most of the other kids have already cracked Zelda's formula or reaction problem. And Libby is even going around helping the other students. Even Milos, the kid who, despite being an immigrant, is still better than that blonde girl, Sabrina, nails it.
So great.
I'm the only person in class who still hasn't figured it out.
I don't think our foreign exchange student has gotten it either.
Way to go, Lyosh!
Libby eventually comes over to help Sabrina at her aunt's request, and while they argue a bit, Sabrina eventually gets tired of this and just gets her to go away by zapping her tongue so that it won't go back in her mouth. This is some more of that stuff that Sabrina does to Libby, where it's just like, Libby is going to think she has a health issue.
But, see, I didn't even think of it that way. I thought of it as like, Libby is going to realize that you somehow fucking did this to her because you literally pointed at her and made it happen.
Maybe, but it's just like, I think if I were Libby, I'd just be like, why is my tongue not moving back into my mouth anymore? I wouldn't, because you don't think people have magic powers.
I mean, after like 30 times of this shit happening, you might.
God, it's happening to me every day. There's got to be something up.
Every day I'm turning into a goat and a pineapple and, you know. Fuck,
my tongue is getting stuck to my nose. Fucking puzzle. Like,
oh, man. That Libby puzzle would come in handy right about now, wouldn't it, Chris?
My Nana's getting taken away.
That's right. So she goes away, and Zelda comes over and tries to talk to Sabrina, but Sabrina's just furious.
Being a bitch. Oh, I'm sorry.
You know Libby, my mortal enemy, the albatross around my neck, that stinky-faced meanie?
Yes.
Well, that's the same Libby you've become friends with, and now you've asked her to be my tutor?
Honey, I simply...
wanted to publicly humiliate me? I mean, I understand. Why not?
This leads to a... I don't remember if it was before or it was after, but right around here is where we get what I thought was a very, like, David Lynch-esque scene. Of like, it's like a dream sequence of Sabrina feeling like so inferior to everyone around her and just feeling like she's being like treated like a child.
Yeah.
So we get like her coming to class and everyone like going like, oh, did you wipe your ass before you came here? Oh, hope you're doing all right. And then
forks are hard.
Forks are hard. And how do we feed ourselves? With a
spoon.
Hi, Sabrina. Did you dress yourself today?
Yes, I dressed myself, and someday I hope to be able to feed myself.
That's right. And how do we feed ourselves? With a spoon.
Damn right, Harvey. And eventually she starts like clapping erasers because that's her special job that her aunt gives her. And then it's just like a horrifying nightmare escape of like her clapping erasers as we cut to like the everyone laughing at her. And then she's just like violently clapping them and going, Sabrina likes to clap erasers. And it's just like, oh, fuck. I need an adult.
Oh, look, everyone. Look how well Sabrina claps the erasers.
Sabrina likes to clap erasers. Sabrina likes to clap erasers.
Anyway, after that, Zelda tries to talk to her after freezing the entire class. But Sabrina just keeps complaining about how she's feeling stupid and like she can't do anything. And she gets angrier and angrier about things. And eventually... gets so angry that she blows herself away. She turns into a big tornado, blows herself out of Westbridge, ditching
high school.
Bad boy. Regular owl, as Sabrina is. Flies all the way home and appears in front of Hilda, confirming that she can now turn into wind. She then says she's got one more for Hilda and bursts herself into a big pile of fire. Big pile. You know how you describe fire as piles.
Yeah.
Big pile of fire. And she soon gets a notification that she's passed her elements test.
Yeah, we don't actually make you sit for it. You just like have to, you know, burst
into
flames.
Just by a certain time, you have to have turned into these three things.
Just fucking burst into flames and you're fine. Are her classmates not like, what the fuck just happened?
Zelda froze them all.
No, Zelda froze them.
Oh, that's true. I remember now.
Yeah. Someone didn't do her 4 pages of notes.
No, I didn't.
Sabrina says she can't remember when she felt so good before remembering that it was when she was with Quizmaster the last time. And
gross.
At Lake Arrowhead. She's then seen trying to convince the Witch's Council again with the argument that the Quizmaster is who taught her the joy of learning, and this eventually convinces them to give her Quizmaster back, although they're all kind of shocked that it took her so long to figure out why.
She's really self-centered, guys.
Bet you're pretty impressed I figured it out, huh?
No. Most witches get it right away. You took so long, we actually started an office pool. Who had Sabrina Wednesday at 3? Everybody pay the man!
Quizmaster gets reassigned back to Sabrina, and then she goes to visit him at his apartment again. As she tells him the good news about her elements test, she hears Quizmaster tell Ralph to hold on a minute, eventually deciding that she wants to apologize for how she's been to Ralph, only to have Quizmaster admit that Ralph isn't there, as he broke it off with him because Ralph was too perfect. He then goes on to note that he guesses he misses being hated, or he missed being hated, and notes it's likely due to a self-esteem issue, which Sabrina just celebrates. Like, she might as well be doing like the Tiger Woods, like, yes!
I think maybe I got self-esteem issues.
This is great!
They decide to be Quizmaster and pupil once more, and during the credits, they spend a bit more quality time together, back up on the old hot air balloon. This time, however, they decide to bring Quizmaster's rapey
rat
roommate.
Face.
Who thanks whoever brought the brie, and then does a bit more pedo work on Sabrina as the episode closes.
Whoever brought the brie, thank you.
Let's get out of here. I've had my fill of talking vermin.
She so wants me.
All right, so I guess the lesson here is somewhat vague, but I still do like it that it's like, the important thing is not to focus on the trouble you're having with an issue, but it's to like refocus on solving the problem. Like, I think what's actually a healthy lesson to teach like preteens is like, don't get so in your head about an issue you're having. Think it out and you'll figure it out. Like, I think that's a solid story, but like that lesson is not the reason that she needs Quizmaster back, you know? It doesn't really connect to why she ends up getting Quizmaster back as her Quizmaster. The story is just like, oh, he taught me the joy of learning or whatever. And it's like, what does that even mean? I guess you were happy once you had learned, once you had passed your test, but like, that doesn't really track so much for me. Am I wrong, Chris?
It's weird because Sabrina's always been really smart and studious.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like,
this is the episode where she has trouble studying.
Right. Did he really teach you the joy of learning? You already have had that before.
It was in you all along. The real joy of learning was the friends we made along the way.
No. Ralph is the joy
of
learning.
Ralph was my true joy. I'm going to get a Ralph tattoo. It'll just say Ralph.
Just like Ralph at Lake Arrowhead. In a hammock. With a martini.
That's right.
That's faintly pink.
He got that in the breakup.
He got Lake Arrowhead.
The weekend cabin.
Yep.
He made out.
The weirdest thing, like, I don't know if you noticed this, but like, I was looking back at the furniture in Quizmaster's apartment. Like, one of the beds, someone's bed, is like in the living room.
It's very like that time TV where it was like everyone lived in a studio.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's very like Friends-ish.
Yes, except there are
Caroline
no
in the City
on this show. Mm-hmm. But that is the episode. Unless you guys have anything else to add, Chris, any last minute notes on the resolution of this episode?
I think I didn't hate this episode as much as I remembered / thought I would hate
Same.
It because it just fully accepts and embraces the fact that
now who's the owl?
No, I know, but I acknowledge that. Embraces the fact that Sabrina is her own worst enemy and is just like really self-centered and she's the problem. I love that they made that. They just put a friend in
the
center.
This is the story of the episode.
Yeah.
With Sabrina being a bad
person.
And
everyone acknowledges it's Sabrina's the problem.
I didn't say this when the storyline first popped up, but like I really loved having Zelda at the high school. Mm-hmm. And like eventually they do this in the college years where she's like a professor at Sabrina's college.
I would have
loved it if they like had her take over the Mr. Poole job. Just because like I feel like it gets the aunts more into the school. It gives them more of a reason to be together, lets them marriage storylines together.
I feel like it's hard, though, because then A and B stories will always be so intertwined, as opposed to like giving the aunties their own separate identity.
The auntie stories so often feel like an also-ran story anyway. It feels like they put like next to no thought into it.
Well, they're always secondary. Sabrina is always front and center.
That makes sense, but like I feel like especially Zelda, but like even Hilda and Zelda, like at the school, like it also feels like not so much has happened in the school in season two. Like some stuff definitely happens, but like it doesn't, like season one, everything is at the school.
You're doing more magical things.
Yeah.
So you're inherently taken out of her normal, mortal, everyday life scenarios. You have less happening at the school with her friends because you have so much more happening in terms of her magical development.
Phil, any last words on this episode before we go to the ending ceremonies here on the Witch Trials?
I think you guys have said it all. I mean, I think Sabrina sees a little bit, she gets a, you know, the proverbial, you know, gets her own medicine, a little dose of her own medicine in this episode. So that's really all I had.
Fair enough. Now, of course, let's go to those closing ceremonies here on the Witch Trials. A ceremony or a segment I've added recently, but I think is a great one, is Salem Says, where we get to highlight our favorite line from that feisty feline. Phil, would you like to go first here on Salem Says?
Wow.
Was it cabbage?
I mean, you're so prepared.
I am prepared. It was just, I wrote in so many lines down trying to figure out which one would work, Chris.
I don't have one, so.
So, let's let Chris go first.
No, this is why we're letting you go first.
I pick whatever Phil picks. Good job, Chris.
Probably the best part, I think, with Salem, what Salem does the whole time, I would have to go with the punch me sign.
Ah, yes.
A little visual humor for me. I think I enjoyed that. Nothing really that he said to me stuck out, but I think that was probably the one for me.
They didn't have the same zing as they normally do. I'll
give you mine and let's see if this sparks some joy.
Okay.
So when Sabrina returns from the ball, the gala, and Zelda asks how it went, she says, I believe I have the line here.
Hi, honey. How was your tea?
Oh, pretty average, you know. There was music, little sandwiches, tea, of course. Oh, and I got my quizmaster fired.
And Salem, without like blinking an eye, just goes, what kind of sandwiches?
What kind of sandwiches?
That is good. I feel like he said something cute when he was like flipping pages of a book.
He's reading an Archie comic in the newspaper when he does like the stages of grief.
No.
Yes.
It was later, so yes. They were in the living room.
He was in the living room when Hilda is helping Sabrina.
Yeah, he's like flipping book pages, and I was like, that is the, he says something and then he like flipped a page, and I was like, that was so cute.
I can't believe I finally figured out how to do it, and I can't explain it.
Might I suggest the fine art of shadow puppets?
That is where he says another line that I really liked, which was Hilda remembers how to make herself into fire, and he says something along the lines of,
if it involves dry branches and kerosene, it's not really magic.
That one's good, too. A lot of good Salem lines, I thought, in this episode. Very Rodney Dangerfield-esque and just like that. Hey, fuck off. Classic Salem. We now go to the TGIF scale, where we, of course, rate every episode of The Witch Trials on a 1 to 5 scale, the This Good I Feel scale, TGIF. 1 to 5 scale corresponding TGIF show for each number. And Chris, you can kick us off here on a TGIF scale for episode 46, Quiz Show.
It's a 3.
It's a 3.
Yeah. It's a 3, and that's good. I feel like lately they haven't been as good. Like, I pretty much enjoyed it.
This is better than the Steve Allen one, was it?
Oh, much, much better. But I think the... So I'll say 3.5, mm-hmm. which feels very generous to me. Like, that feels like a high score. Because I feel like I haven't given high scores in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it's been very, like, middle of the road.
I will tell you, Chris, the next episode, they go to Disney World.
That's a fucking train wreck of an episode.
Four. Kind of is. Phil, are you actually giving this a 4?
No,
Harvey's just on like that train ride.
No, Disney won't be a 4.
Ah, we'll find out next time.
I agreed with Chris. I gave it like a 3.25.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a 3, not a 3.5, but right in the middle of 3.25. So
I had it about the same place as a 3.5. Just a good one. A bit of a surprise because, like you said, I also didn't have fond memories of this.
Yeah.
But definitely
a
lot more.
I don't think I liked Quizmaster that much growing up. Because right. he was just always popping up and being a menace and like, oh, I need to go take a damn test now.
And this too is like so far towards the end of the Quizmaster character. Yeah. It's just like, what do I really care? I mean, you know, this is a good episode because I can appreciate it as an adult. But like if I'm a kid, I'm like, you know, because he hasn't really done anything this whole time. But yes, 3.5. And now the main event of the episode, of course, the Back of the Linen Closet Award, our episodic award for each installment's biggest fashion flop. Chris, couple of things to choose from, some we didn't touch on. I will also highlight that throughout this episode, Sabrina is wearing like a rusty kind of red sheer top that otherwise would have been fine, except for the big
design.
Like tattoo flame prints
thing
on the arms that are hideous.
She wore that like the whole episode.
But a lot of options to choose from.
It's definitely Hilda's purple people eater top ensemble.
It's not a good one. Like, it looks like something an eccentric old woman would have worn in the 40s.
It looks like other things that she's worn, but it looks like it was cobbled together with all of the elements that have ever been in her outfits. Yeah. Like, there's velvet. There's like the boa. There's sheer panels. There's a matching skirt. Like,
also, I will say the collar, like, looks like it was poorly added on.
Yeah,
like, it
but
doesn't...
like the patches, the velvet patches too, look like they were just like sewn on, like added.
Phil,
how can we Hildify this normal
how
cardigan?
Ruin a perfectly good cardigan. Phil, your selection for the Back of the Linen Closet Award this episode.
Well, my selection is probably one that you're not going to agree with, but for me,
oh no, it's Quizmaster's great outfit.
It was Quizmaster's Prince/ Michael Jackson.
Prince Ali. It's definitely Prince Ali.
Like looking thing. I'm like, what the heck is this thing?
I love that thing.
It's
man.
not from the time period. It looks hideous. I mean, he literally looks like a Nigerian prince.
Yeah,
with this freaking thing on, and I'm
he
like,
looks regal.
No,
that's his party look. His party look.
And I will agree with Chris's selection of Hilda's hideous sweater.
I mean, Quizmaster's orange shirt was pretty bad.
It is. Yeah, I think but that was in a previous episode. I think it might have won.
But the black and white looked good on him. It was very 90s hip hop.
It was good. It like when you see him in that outfit, like when he comes out, it seems like he's in his element. Like that seems like the kind of clothes he likes to wear.
Yes. He probably would have worn then. Yeah, exactly.
Like it doesn't seem,
of course,
over the top in the same way that his outfits always seem over the top.
Of course, the greatest outfit he wears is that like purple A-line shirt when he punches Sabrina right in her fucking face.
Oh, dude. Those were some titties. Like, it was so tight on his chest.
He clearly works out, man. Did you see him in that dress?
Damn titties.
He was also wearing heels. Like, good on him. Like, those were not, like, baby heels
either. He earned those Nancy Pelosi claps. Anyway, That is the episode by and large, but I do want to remind you that you can always check out what Chris is up to over at chrisconkers.com and Chris Conkers on Twitter and Instagram. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Thank you for leaning in. As a woman, thank you for leaning into business. Yes. And you can check out what Phil is up to by listening to more episodes of Sabrina's Witch Trials.
That is correct.
And of course, you can listen to Sabrina's Witch Trials everywhere you get your podcasts. Tune in, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play podcast section. Find us on YouTube and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All that stuff, all links to all that stuff should
LinkedIn.
Link below.
No, you.
Oh yeah, follow us on LinkedIn. No, good point, Chris. LinkedIn. Yeah.
TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, TikTok. Yeah.
Snapchat.
Yeah. Follow us on TikTok so you can see me doing that dance, that fucking song, "Savage" by. Fucking,
there you go.
I'm so sick of that song.
We're gonna have Al start doing TikToks where he dances to all the things, all the different TikTok challenges that Bachelor, Bachelorette contestants do.
Yeah, if you retweet this post, we'll absolutely have Al do it.
I think we get 20 reviews on iTunes. Ooh. And I'll do it.
Come on, guys, we can make it happen. I just want to see Al dance.
We all want to see.
I want to see Al trying to like lift up his knee and like make a stank face when he like and like stick smiling,
that,
like
stick that ass out.
I'm just thinking of like all the bachelorettes or like bachelor contestant girls who have been like making TikToks and like the faces they make like while they do TikToks, and just like Al smiling while he like dances sassily.
I like how you think Al will be smiling.
No, but that's how they do it. So I imagine you doing it exactly the way that they do it.
Yeah, you're gonna do a parody.
We need to get him a tie-dye sweatsuit.
Done.
Luckily,
I already ordered one from Fashion Nova.
Oh, I was going to say Target because I know they have them. But
do they really?
Yeah.
Well.
For women.
You can guess where I'm going.
Wild Fable.
Perfect.
Finally, something that'll fit my hips.
You can do a Quizmaster, Al.
It's like $12.
I can be the Quizmaster.
Or we can make you one. We get you one of your favorite Hanes sweatshirts, and we can make a TikTok of you making a tie-dye.
I can't.
And then of you dancing in the tie-dye.
All this TikTok obsession.
I also
Chris.
Don't have TikTok, so
lots of TikToking going on.
It's what is happening in this quarantine world of ours. Everyone's
thanks,
TikToking.
Coronavirus.
Yeah, thanks. You really ruined my life by making me TikTok.
Or as Al likes to call it, my Sharona virus.
That's right. Because Chris has it. Yuck.
Because it's got him dancing.
That's right. To escape people through dance. Anyway, follow us in all those places. Review us in all those places. Reach out in all those places. Share this podcast. Follow this space. All the like, comment, and subscribe. All the things you're supposed to say at the end of something.
Smash the like button.
Did you say we're on MySpace? Because that would have been great.
Subscribe to my OnlyFans.
Add me to your friend wall.
Yep.
Or be your top 8 on MySpace.
Yeah, Friendster. Find me on that weird Google. What was it? The fucking Google one called?
I don't know.
Who fucking knows? Google.
I know there was
Google.
Like a European one called High Five that everyone
loved. Ooh, High Five.
I used to have a High Five.
I used to get a high five, but then I lost my friends. Anyway, cut that out.
And then we had to stay 6 feet apart from each other. So no more high fives.
I used to get a high five, but then I could only high five people through a glass window.
Everybody put gloves on. We need a high five.
And I'm going to send you a virtual high five.
Thank you.
Aww.
And then most importantly, just stay safe, guys, and keep yourselves healthy. And
yes. And thank you to everyone who is an essential worker that has to go out and...
Oh, I honestly, I can't fucking imagine it. Just like having to go, even if you're not like a nurse or a doctor or something, but like even if you're just like working at like a fast food place and you have to like be there because your job says you're an essential worker.
Yep.
And you're literally exposed to people all day, you know, God bless and stay safe. And with that, I will tell you that I really do appreciate you listening, and I hope you... have a great rest of 2020. I almost said 20.
Wow, are you not recording ever again?
You know what's amazing? If you listen back to that clip, I'm about to say 2018, and I'm like, no, it's the next year. I only say 2019.
Fuck. Also, but that's fucking weird. Like, you're acting as if you're recording this in December.
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, it's acting.
Oh my God, we knew about coronavirus back then.
That's right. We did. But yeah. Hopefully you guys have a great rest of the year, as the year right now is not so great. But thank you for listening, and we will see you in the other realm.
I've got it! I know why I need my quizmaster back now.
You know, you can't just barge in here assuming we have nothing to do. Proceed.